I have come to believe that there are at least two things in our culture that are non-negotiables. We must have them. Food and complaining. There was a 1989 movie called Field of Dreams, which coined the famous line, "If you build it, they will come." I think we can now, given our obsession with all things food, say, if you feed them, they will come. Almost every social event involves food. Even church meetings will provide food. Think of our women's prayer breakfast, celebrating its 10 years of ministry in our parish this month. Our next Sunday's parish picnic. Food helps to build community. Food is very important in our lives. Food is a basic necessity. Food is important and has been throughout all of history. We see that clearly in our first reading today. The Hebrew people have been set free from slavery in Egypt. As they started their exodus out of Egypt, they took their possessions with them. But in the unforgiving climate of the desert, they ran out of food. Their going got tough, and just like us, they complained. The scripture records that they complained against Moses, saying, "Would that we have died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine." It's like they were saying, "Yeah, we were slaves in Egypt, but at least we got something to eat." Well, God did provide. God provided them with a miraculous manna and quail to eat. Our journey of discipleship is a lifelong exodus from the slavery of sin and death to the holiness of truth of Mount Zion, the promised land of eternal life. Our road will get tough, and when it does, we can be tempted to complain. Like those Hebrews of the desert, though, we too can easily forget all the good that God has done for us. And when we get through the tough times, we are often better off for it. We should see those times of hardship as a test of what's in our hearts, a call to trust God more and to purify our motives for the faith. As it says in the book of Deuteronomy, "Remember how for these 40 years the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the wilderness so as to test you by affliction, to know what was in your heart to keep his commandments or not. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your ancestors, so that you might know that it is not by bread alone that people live, but by all that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord." St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that we must leave behind our old self-deception and desires and live according to the likeness of God in which we are made. We are no longer slaves to sin, set free by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But we are still in that desert of trial, on our pilgrimage in this time of testing, learning to trust God to provide all that we need. But learning to trust God means we do follow him as disciples for the right reasons. Jesus tells the crowd in today's gospel that they are following him for the wrong reasons. They seek him because he filled their bellies at the multiplication of the loaves and fishes we heard about last week. The Hebrew people also were content to follow Moses and God as long as there was plenty of food. Jesus fulfilled their physical hunger, but he is more concerned with their spiritual hunger. Food is the most obvious of signs. It's the most basic of human needs. We need our daily bread to live, but we cannot live by bread alone. We need the bread of eternal life that preserves those who believe in Jesus. The manna in the wilderness, just like the bread Jesus multiplied for the crowd, were a sign to God's providence that we should trust that God will provide. Both these signs point to their fulfillment in the Eucharist, that abundant bread of angels that we sang about in today's responsorial psalm. This is the food that God longs to give us, the body and blood of Jesus in Holy Communion. His body is true food. His blood is true drink. Jesus is present in the Eucharist. This is not a mere symbol. And this is the bread we should be seeking. But too often, we don't ask for this bread. Instead, we seek the perishable things of our everyday life, wants, and worries. In our weakness, we think those temporary things are the things that will bring us happiness. True happiness is found in God alone. True life-sustaining food is the bread of life, the body and blood of Jesus. So as we continue our Eucharist now, let us earnestly pray to God to give us our daily bread, that bread of eternal life.